Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. The Book of Jerem is another short book, and Jerem is sort of an interesting fella. To be honest, for a long time I didn't really like him. He's sort of an abrasive guy. But I think in the final analysis, you really have to decide he's justified in being abrasive, as much as it pains me to say that. So as we read through, I'm going to give my commentary on why I didn't like him, and then at the end I'll tell you why I think it's forgivable and we actually should pay attention to him. So, verse 1. Now behold, I, Jerem, write a few words according to the commandment of my father Enos, that our genealogy may be kept. And as these plates are small, and as these things are written for the intent of the benefit of our brethren the Lamanites, wherefore it must needs be that I write a little. But I shall not write the things of my prophesying, nor of my revelations. For what could I have written more than my fathers have written? For have not they revealed the plan of salvation? I say unto you, yea, and this sufficeth me. Okay, great. Thanks, Jerem. Verse 3. Behold, it is expedient that much should be done among this people, because of the hardness of their hearts, and the deafness of their ears, and the blindness of their minds, and the stiffness of their necks. Nevertheless, God is exceedingly merciful unto them, and has not as yet swept them off from the face of the land. Okay, Jerem, tell us what they're doing wrong. Verse 4. And there are many among us who have many revelations, for they are not all stiff-necked. And as many as are not stiff-necked and have faith, have communion with the Holy Spirit, which maketh manifest unto the children of men according to their faith. And now behold, 200 years had passed away, and the people of Nephi had waxed strong in the land. They observed to keep the law of Moses and the Sabbath day holy under the Lord. And they profaned not, neither did they blaspheme. And the laws of the land were exceedingly strict. So it doesn't sound like they're all that bad, Jerem. Verse 6. And they were scattered upon the much face of the land, and the Lamanites also. And they were exceedingly more numerous than they of the Nephites, and they loved murder and would drink the blood of beasts. Yikes, these Lamanites are just getting scarier all the time. Verse 7. And it came to pass that they came many times against us, the Nephites, to battle. But our kings and our leaders were mighty men in the faith of the Lord, and they taught the people the ways of the Lord. Wherefore we withstood the Lamanites and swept them away out of our lands and began to fortify our cities or whatsoever place of our inheritance. Okay, so far so good. Sounds like these horrible people, the Nephites, Jerem calls blind of mind and stiff necks and deafness of ears and hardness of hearts, are obeying the Sabbath day and the law of Moses, and they have righteous leaders and God is protecting them. I don't see what Jerem's so upset about. Verse 8. And we multiplied exceedingly and spread upon the face of the land, and became exceedingly rich in gold and in silver and in precious things and in fine workmanship of wood, in buildings and in machinery, and also in iron and copper and brass and steel, making all manner of tools of every kind to till the ground, and weapons of war, yea, the sharp-pointed arrow and the quiver and the dart and the javelin and all preparations for war. And thus being prepared to meet the Lamanites, they did not prosper against us. But the word of the Lord was verified, which he spake unto our fathers, saying that, inasmuch as ye will keep my commandments, ye shall prosper in the land. And it came to pass that the prophets of the Lord did threaten the people of Nephi according to the word of God, that if they did not keep the commandments, but should fall into transgression, they should be destroyed from off the face of the land. Okay, this is sounding good. Verse 11. Wherefore the prophets and the priests and the teachers did labor diligently, exhorting with all longsuffering the people to diligence, teaching the law of Moses and the intent for which it was given, persuading them to look forward unto the Messiah and believe in him to come as though he already was. And after this manner did they teach them. And it came to pass that by so doing they kept them from being destroyed upon the face of the land, for they did prick their hearts with the word, continually stirring them up unto repentance. And it came to pass that 238 years had passed away, after the manner of wars and contentions and dissensions, for the space of much of the time. And I, Jerem, do not write more, for the plates are small. But behold, my brethren, ye can go to the other plates of Nephi. Sure we can. For behold, upon them the records of our wars are engraven, according to the writing of the kings, or those which they have caused to be written. And I deliver these plates into the hands of my son Omni, that they may be kept according to the commandments of my fathers.
Okay, so that's the end of the book, and I don't see any reason in here for Jerem to be so upset at the Nephites. It sounds like they're doing a really good job, and he's just got his nose out of joint. But as we continue on into the Book of Omni, which is the next book, and also very short, we're going to see that actually Jerem was onto something, because God gets upset with the Nephites and destroys them. Now, the Book of Omni is an interesting book, because it's basically five books for the price of one. Even though it's very short, we have five different writers here, and you'll see they come and go in rapid succession. So, verse 1. Behold, it came to pass that I, Omni, being commanded by my father Jerem, that I should write somewhat upon these plates to preserve our genealogy. Wherefore, in my days, I would that ye should know that I have fought much with the sword to preserve my people, the Nephites, from falling into the hands of their enemies, the Lamanites. But behold, I of myself am a wicked man, and I have not kept the statutes and commandments of the Lord as I ought to have done. It's tempting for me to assume that Omni's being hard on himself because he had a dad who probably told him fire and brimstone was going to come from heaven if he didn't clean his room, but that's just pure speculation. It could be that Omni is just being honest with us here. Verse 3, and it came to pass that 276 years had passed away, and we had many seasons of peace, and we had many seasons of serious war and bloodshed. Yea, and in fine, 282 years had passed away, and I had kept these commandments, I had kept these plates according to the commandments of my fathers, and I conferred them upon my son Amaron, and I make an end. That's all that Omni writes. The Book of Omni. Three verses, basically. It continues on. Verse 4. And now I, Amaron, Omni's son, write the things whatsoever I write, which are few in the book of my father. Behold, it came to pass that 320 years had passed away, and the more wicked part of the Nephites were destroyed. For the Lord would not suffer after he had led them out of the land of Jerusalem and kept and preserved them from falling into the hands of their enemies. Yea, he would not suffer that the words should be not verified, which he spake unto our fathers, saying that inasmuch as ye will not keep my commandments, ye shall not prosper in the land. Wherefore the Lord did visit them in great judgment. Nevertheless, he did spare the righteous that they should not perish, but did deliver them out of the hands of their enemies. And it came to pass that I did deliver the plates unto my brother Chemish. Well, Amaron, I would like a little more detail, but this is why I say Jerem must have been justified, because not in his generation and not in his son's generation, but in the generation of his grandson, the wicked Nephites got destroyed somehow. And so he wasn't just making stuff up. And maybe he was not blowing things out of proportion even. Verse 9. Now I, Chemish, this is the brother of Amaron, so another grandson of Jerem, write what few things I write in the same book with my brother. For behold, I saw the last which he wrote, and he wrote it with his own hand. And he wrote it in the day that he delivered them unto me. And after this manner we keep the records, for it was according to the commandments of our fathers, and I make an end. So, thanks, Chemish. Apparently, we're losing the vision here a little bit. Nephi wrote a very lengthy record. Jacob wrote a good record, much shorter than Nephi's two books, but still good. Then Enos just kind of told one story. Jerem just complained about how bad everyone was. And now we're just getting a few verses at a time, sort of hinting at what's going on. And Chemish is like, yeah, my brother found these plates under the bed, wrote some things, gave them to me, told me to write, so I'm writing, but I don't really have anything to say, and now I'm passing him on. Verse 10, behold, I, Abinadam, am the son of Chemish. So now, great-grandson of Jerem. Behold, it came to pass that I saw much war and contention between my people, the Nephites, and the Lamanites. And I, with my own sword, have taken the lives of many of the Lamanites in the defense of my brethren. And behold, the record of this people is engraven upon plates which is had by the kings according to the generations. And I know of no revelation save that which has been written, neither prophecy. Wherefore, that which is sufficient is written, and I make an end. Okay, great. So far, so good. Verse 12. Behold, I, Amalickai, am the son of Abinadam. Okay, another generation has passed. And now he's going to write in a little bit of length. Behold, I will speak unto you somewhat concerning Mosiah, who is made king over the land of Zarahemla. For behold, he being warned of the Lord that he should flee out of the land of Nephi, and as many as would hearken unto the voice of the Lord should also depart out of the land with him into the wilderness. And it came to pass that he did according as the Lord had commanded him. And they departed out of the land into the wilderness, as many as would hearken unto the voice of the Lord. And they were led by many preachings and prophesyings, and they were admonished continually by the word of the Lord. And they were led by the power of his arm through the wilderness until they came down into the land which is called the land of Zarahemla. So here again, apparently, The Nephites are getting wicked again, and this time, instead of just destroying the wicked part, God commands the righteous ones to leave town, to get out of there. And so they abandon the land of Nephi. And we later learn that the Lamanites take it over, and it becomes a pretty important land for the Lamanites throughout the rest of the Book of Mormon. But this is the point where the Nephites depart that land, and we'll be hearing more about this later. Verse 14, and they discovered a people who were called the people of Zarahemla. Now there was great rejoicing among the people of Zarahemla, and also Zarahemla did rejoice exceedingly, because the Lord had sent the people of Mosiah with the brass plates which contained the record of the Jews. Behold, it came to pass that Mosiah discovered that the people of Zarahemla came out of Jerusalem at the time that Zedekiah, king of Judah, was carried away captive into Babylon. So that's during the destruction that Lehi saw. So the founding family of the Book of Mormon, Lehi and his kids, left just before Jerusalem got destroyed. Apparently, Zarahemla's ancestors left just shortly after that. Verse 16, and they journeyed in the wilderness and were brought by the hand of the Lord across the great waters into the land where Mosiah discovered them, and they had dwelt there from that time forth. So this is interesting. This is the only time that we hear of someone else being in the Promised Land, and it's just thanks to Amalekai jotting a few notes down here for us in the Book of Omni. Given the fact that the Nephites and the Lamanites become such big civilizations so quickly, I personally feel forced to assume there are other people, but we don't know. This record, remember, the Book of Mormon is a spiritual history. It's not a historical account of the way these civilizations developed, and so there are lots of details we don't have. But here we know of at least one other group that came from Jerusalem, actually, but that doesn't mean everybody had to come from there. Verse 17, and at the time that Mosiah discovered them, they had become exceedingly numerous. Nevertheless, they had had many wars and serious contentions and had fallen by the sword from time to time. And their language had become corrupted, and they had brought no records with them. And they denied the being of their creator, and Mosiah nor the people of Mosiah could understand them. But it came to pass that Mosiah caused that they should be taught in his language. And it came to pass that after they were taught in the language of Mosiah, Zarahemla gave a genealogy of his fathers, according to his memory. And they are written, but not in these plates. And it came to pass that the people of Zarahemla and of Mosiah did unite together, and Mosiah was appointed to be their king. And it came to pass in the days of Mosiah, there was a large stone brought unto him with engravings on it. And he did interpret the engravings by the gift and power of God. And they gave an account of one Coriantumr and the slain of his people. And Coriantumr was discovered by the people of Zarahemla, and he dwelt with them for the space of 9 moons. We're going to get the history of Coriantumr and his people near the very end of the Book of Mormon. And they are a civilization that existed in the Promised Land, in the Americas somewhere, before Lehi and his family arrived. And it sounds like they overlap just a little bit, but as far as we know, they didn't mix at all. But again, we don't know that for sure. Verse 22, it also spake a few words concerning his fathers, and his first parents came out from the tower at the time the Lord confounded the language of the people, and the severity of the Lord fell upon them according to his judgments which are just, and their bones lay scattered in the land northward. Behold, I, Amalekai, was born in the days of Mosiah, and I have lived to see his death, and Benjamin his son reigneth in his stead. And behold, I have seen in the days of King Benjamin a serious war and much bloodshed between the Nephites and the Lamanites. But behold, the Nephites did obtain much advantage over them, yea, insomuch that King Benjamin did drive them out of the land of Zarahemla. And it came to pass that I began to be old, and having no seed, and knowing King Benjamin to be a just man before the Lord, wherefore I shall deliver up these plates unto him, exhorting all men to come unto God, the Holy One of Israel, and believe in prophesying, and in revelations, and in the ministering of angels, and in the gift of speaking with tongues, and in the gift of interpreting languages, and in all things which are good. And there is nothing which is good save it comes from the Lord, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. And now, my beloved brethren, I would that ye should come unto Christ, who is the Holy One of Israel, and partake of his salvation and the power of his redemption. Yea, come unto him, and offer your whole souls as an offering unto him, and continue in fasting and praying, and endure to the end. And as the Lord liveth, ye will be saved. And now I would speak somewhat concerning a certain number who went up into the wilderness to return to the land of Nephi. So that's the land they abandoned, remember. For there was a large number who were desirous to possess the land of their inheritance. Wherefore they went up into the wilderness, and their leader being a strong and mighty man and a stiff-necked man, wherefore he caused a contention among them. And they were all slain, save 50, in the wilderness, and they returned again to the land of Zarahemla. And it came to pass that they also took others to a considerable number, and took their journey again into the wilderness. And I, Amalekai, had a brother who also went with them, and I have not since known concerning them. And I am about to lie down in my grave, and these plates are full, and I make an end of my speaking. So we'll learn more about that group later. That's the end of the Book of Omni, and that is the end of Nephi's Small Plates. The next book is called The Words of Mormon, and we'll get an explanation of how this connects to the rest of the book.